wanted to worship and praise our Lord. I didn't hear nobody say yeah. Are y'all here to worship and praise our Lord this morning? Amen. There you go. That's what we're here to do. Y'all stand with us as we get started. And before it slips my brain, I got a call from Randy Carver yesterday, and his wife Nancy, they found out she has breast cancer, and he wanted me to let everybody know in the church to put her in y'all's prayers. Wyman, before you sing a song every morning, what is it that you say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Holy.
Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord.
On that one, we haven't done that one in so long we couldn't even find the lyrics this morning, but the next song is God is Able, and I think we've all probably had times in our lives where, you know, something that's supposed to be impossible, God is able, he can do the impossible. There are people here this morning that have seen God this week do things that everybody around them said that's not going to happen, it can't happen. But prayer and the Lord, you know, God is able. And so whatever it is that might be on your mind this morning, we serve a very awesome God, and he is able.
Is able, he will never fail.
defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. Lift it up. He defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. For the Lord our God is able. For the Lord our God is sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big and my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hot inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than to take what you give that I need. And I beat my head against so many walls. I'm falling down, falling on my knees. God, and the Salvation Army band is playing this hymn. And your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, by His wounds, we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him.
and by his wounds, by his wounds we are healed.
We are grace, we are saved, we are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, by his wounds we are healed.
We are
transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, by his wounds we are healed. And by his wounds,
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day that you've given us. God, we thank you so much for the privilege that we could be here in your house today to lift up and worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, if there's anyone here today who don't know you personally as Lord and Savior, God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to just move in such a great and mighty way in their hearts. Show them that they need Jesus, because it's the name of Jesus that we can be saved and no other name. Father, be with Brother John as he comes up and brings the message. Father, just fill him with your spirit and give him the words to speak. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Not the big guy you expected, huh? If the children will hold just a minute. I'd ask John that I might could have a minute to speak to you after the service. But there's people in here I need to see right now and talk to, and they would be out doing other jobs. Without going through a long, long story, a situation happened in our life this week with our son that wound up teaching me that I'm a big man, but I'm not that big, that I can be put on the floor twice, and that in my power, and in my strength, and in my wisdom, sometimes I'm not enough. But you know what happened? I was looking the devil in his teeth, and I couldn't win. I wasn't big enough. I wasn't strong enough. And you, others that I don't know, didn't just say you were going to pray. You didn't just say you were going to pray. Didn't just do it in a little easy text or email. You prayed. You hit your knees and you prayed. God won. God won in a way bigger than anybody involved had ever seen before. And I spent hours telling people from the ER, through the state mental health system, through everybody, I told them, God did a miracle. The people prayed. Don't let anybody tell you that there's not people in this church that can pray, and God in his heaven will hear that prayer and will act on that prayer, and he will do it now. Not a year from now. He will do it now. Thank you. I love you. Keep praying. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Be thankful for this man. Be thankful for these people in here that you can call, and they will hit their knees and they will pray for you. And when the devil is staring you down and you realize that you're not big enough, there is a king who came off his throne for me. There is a father in heaven who gave up his son for me. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more that could be said any greater. And that same king who came off of his throne for me, that same father who gave up his son for me, is available to you. No matter how big that devil is, no matter how much this world tells you it can't happen, it is real. It is not just your grandmama and your granddaddy's story. It is not just something you see on TV. There is a God in heaven. His son, I think the God in heaven, I thank his son, and I thank his Holy Spirit that took your prayers and turned them into words that God heard and got my son the help he needed. Thank you.
Y'all can turn that off up there, right? All right. Praise God. Thank you all for that testimony. And God is just good. We're going to ask our youngs if they're ready. Go ahead. Ready? Break. Show us how to walk. And while they're doing that, and while we're just thankful for all that God does, I would like to introduce somebody, someone special here for their first time ever in any church, as far as I know, any church anywhere, and they don't even know I'm talking about them yet, but this we'd like to recognize little Liam Williams right here. Look at, there we go. His first time anywhere. He's doing well. Is he doing? He's doing well. Mama's doing well. Better. Things are getting better. Y'all remember? If y'all had babies. You know how that. You know it's tough, especially got other youngins. And this is baby number 3 in Williams' home. And so we're just so glad that y'all are here. whole family was here today in church. Praise God. That's a good thing. So glad that you're here. Of course, there's other folks we'd like to... There's all kind of folks who I'm seeing, and I'm just so glad that you're here. Can't recognize everybody, but just know we're glad that you're here, and we're so glad to see you. I praise God for that. I praise God for what He's doing and the testimony you heard. God's doing some awesome things. And I don't have my bulletin or my handout, so that means the sermon's either going to be really short or really long, one way or the other. I'm not sure yet. Somebody's going to say, "Give me one," so I don't end up being real long. But listen, what we're going to talk about today, thank you so much, involves our attitude. What should our attitude be like in the midst of all the really awesome stuff God is doing? What are some pitfalls the people of God have fallen into before when they've seen God do tremendous things and then have allowed themselves to get pulled away from God, and they've slowed the momentum, they slow the roll that God had for them in His plan? And how can we at Christ Community Church capitalize on what God is doing in such an awesome way that we don't do anything to hinder all that He wants to do in our church? Not in the buildings only, but in the people, okay? So I'm just going to, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me read the scripture. We're going to read verses 1 through 13 of chapter 10. It's concerning the Old Testament saints as they moved out of Egypt, out of slavery, into freedom, into their own place. And it discusses some of the pitfalls that they fell into, and it teaches us how we can avoid those things. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 1 through 13. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Father God, Lord, I'm so excited about what you're doing at Christ Community Church. I'm so excited, Father, for all the things. I'm so excited about the testimony we heard, because it was a testimony about a praying church, but it was a testimony about a faithful God whom we do well to put all our trust in for every issue. So, Father, would you help us to be that? To be that trusting, to be that deliberate in following you, that there wouldn't be any roadblocks, no speed bumps, no hindrances in our way from being the church you would have us to be right here where you planted us in Grenada, Mississippi. Lord, we love you. We trust you. Teach us. Help us to be wise and learn from the mistakes of others. And Father, we give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's just so many cool things. Let me start with a little history lesson on the people of God and then on Christ Community Church. The people of God were slaves in Israel and Egypt. They were enslaved. They were being beat down. Anybody here ever been beat down? Nobody? Well, let me explain what beat down is, okay? Beat down is when your resources have been taken away, where you have more month at the end of your money, when you don't know which direction to go, when family things are falling apart, and you don't know how you're going to fix it. That's beat down. Sometimes you get beat down through sickness. Sometimes you get beat down through opposition. Sometimes you get beat down through relationships. Sometimes people have gotten beat down in church, believe it or not. You know, it happens. But that's beat down. Anybody, now that I've explained it, anybody been beat down a little bit? Okay, so there's this beat down people in Egypt. And God miraculously moves to save them. He brings them out. Now, what they didn't know was that they were promised a land hundreds of years before them. They were promised. God made a promise to them. And God's not a forgetter. He's a promise keeper. Okay? So God had this place for them to go. And he was taking them there directly. But if you know the history, the people of God didn't get to go in to the land directly. They just had to wait 40 years. Who's got 40 years to spend on getting on track with the will of God? Anybody here? You do. Jay over there, he's like, I got 40 years. You may have. And Jay, the two young guys, they're like, we do. How about you not young guys? You got 40 years to spend wallowing, wandering, wasting, saying, hey, I guess for me, I guess when I'm 80, I'll be ready to do what God wants me to do. It worked out for Colonel Sanders making the Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I don't think that's a rule we ought to go by. We ought to get to doing what God would have us to do. I'm looking around, and some of y'all, LG, would be 203 years old in 40 years from now. And so, I mean, that's just crazy. You know, we just can't wait for that kind of stuff. You know, we've got to move when God says move. We need to be ready. We don't need to do anything to slow our roll in that, okay? God has something for us. Those folks, according to this scripture, it says God was not pleased with most of them, for their bodies were scattered throughout the wilderness. It did not turn out good. It wasn't that they didn't have every resource from God. He continues to say, they all were baptized. They all had the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They all had the same spiritual food. Just like we might say, look, Christ died for every single one of us. The Holy Spirit of God's been poured out on every single believer. We got everything in Christ. The Word of God is open to us and available. We've got it all. Just like they had it all. Now, what is our attitude going to be when we move forward with God? That's going to tell how far He takes us. That's going to tell how directly we go to the place where He would have us to go. My pulpit, that's real fancy. That's going to be the tail of the tape. That's going to be the deciding factors. That's, as your pastor, I want to come in and say, listen, we are blessed. And if I could just put that in your, if I could take that word and pack it into our ear, each and every ear, and so it's in our mind, so whenever you looked in the eyes of somebody from Christ Community Church, it just said blessed across their eyes. It says blessed on our forehead. We're blessed. And I'm going to tell you, we have our own history of coming out of some places. The building that we left, let me tell you, we did make improvements. Let me get an amen from somebody who made some improvements on that old building. Just a little tiny amen, but that's just because they're tired still, okay? I don't know how many times, but, you know, they recovered the roof. We had Bug up there recovering that roof, and it was like an annual thing, you know, semi-annual, sometimes quarterly. Hey, Bug, it's time to get up in the hot, sweltering heat and put some tar on that roof again because it's leaking in 18 different places. We had folks who couldn't come because the mold and mildew were so bad. Every time they came, they flared up, got sick, and needed to go to the hospital. It was crazy, but we took what we had. We did our best with it, and it was pretty cool. All right, praise God for it. God opened up our opportunity to come here. And we've come here. And when we came here, I just was remembering this. The first time we came here, there's actually grease poured out on the floor coming from the kitchen into the lobby. Just rancid grease. Grease that had spoiled. Anybody ever smelled spoiled grease? Somehow it doesn't remind you of like the church and the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. It's like, I smell an aroma. It doesn't smell like joy. It smells more like teen spirit, if you remember that. Anyways, but it smells nasty. But We cleaned up, man, we did some things. God used us to make this place even better and has blessed us here to grow. We don't have to rent hotel rooms to have Sunday school classes in. We just have to share our Sunday school class with the band, which that's all right. That's a different thing. That's from my class. Y'all know where I'm coming from. But we've had an opportunity, and folks have worked. If you've worked to improve this building, say amen. Amen. You know, and that's been cleaning, painting, redoing chairs, whatever. I mean, just all kind of things. Building rooms, fixing flooding, doing all kind of things. And I praise God. We've improved everywhere we went. We're going to leave this place clean too, okay? But can I just remind you, this is not our end result, right? This is not our final destination here on, you know, as far as earthly buildings. And I'm so excited because this is our second to last Sunday here, okay? Y'all get that? All right. So let me put some dates on it. Today is November 8th. We will meet here November 15th. Sunday, November 15th, we will meet here. We are going to have a project when church is done, and that project is going to be everybody help to get the stuff we need to have Sunday service over to that new building so that on November 22nd, we can have our first church service at the new building. Okay? Amen? Now, to me, that's just an awesome thing. But there's some things we need to learn before we go. Okay, just there's going to be a lot of stuff we need to learn. Matter of fact, just being teachable is one of those things. It's a new building. It's going to feel awkward. You're not going to know where everything is. You'll know where the bathrooms are. You know where the sanctuary is. But, you know, finding rooms is going to be a little awkward at first. Finding a parking space is going to be a little awkward at first. Finding where you're at and all this stuff, it's going to be new. Getting out of that parking lot. After church, 500 people up in that service. Broadcasting. Y'all see what I'm doing. Prophesying. 500 people up in there, and they're all trying to get out at the same time. You better keep your Christianity with you in the parking lot. You understand? We do not want to be that church that smiles at you inside the building and gives you the finger outside in the parking lot. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to be up in the service, and when they're singing, we are waving our hands, woo, changing the light bulb, change the light bulb, washing the window to the Lord. And then we get in the parking lot shaking our fist. We don't want to be that church, right? So what's that going to require? I know some of y'all are thinking, it requires me getting up and leaving before the offering. You know I got you. You know who you are. I done got you, zinger. Anyways, point being, no, we need to keep our patience. We need to check our attitude, okay? So let me just go through some pitfalls right quick. I'm going to focus on one in particular, but I want to get some of these pitfalls that the people of God fell into, okay? They fell into these, and it took them 40 years before they got back onto God's program. And let me tell you this, I am convinced of this. God will let us get into a new building, but he will pause his cause for 40 years if we go in there and we're not ready to do what he would have us to do. You understand? He won't just let us wander in the wilderness. We're going to go into that building, but without the blessing and the presence of God, without God answering prayers right then when we need it, what do we offer that's different than anybody else? God is the difference. He's the difference maker. We want to be with him on the same page. That's why we want to avoid these pitfalls, okay? So there's just four of them. I'm going to just delineate them fairly rapidly. First one, do not become an idolater. I know what you're thinking. That's cool. Between now and when we move in the building, Big John, I'm not planning on going, getting a huge carved Buddha statue and put it in my yard and bowing down and worshiping it. I understand that you may think that idolatry is easy to avoid. And I would agree with you in that form that we're used to seeing, where we have carved statues that we bow our knee to. However, in our society, where oftentimes people will do just about anything for money or pleasure, convenience, comfort. Did I say pleasure yet? Yeah. Okay. You know, we have idols that come in different forms. And I just want to be a reminder to you that there is no God but God. Some of you look in the mirror and you see the idol that you worship day by day. But can I tell you, there is no God but God. You may say in your heart, I can handle these things, I can do this, I can take care of this, I can provide, I can do this. Then I cannot tell you that I have a pretty good guess of what your idol and who your idol is. You may have the other thing, well, I know they can do that and they can do this, they can fulfill me, they can give me all that I need. I have a good idea of where your idol is and where your trust is. If there's ever any doubt that God can fulfill everything that you need, then by human nature, you will have a tendency to replace God with some other idol somewhere in your life. And I want to encourage you, you find every area in your life and you make sure God is filling that void and it's not nobody or nothing else. Can I tell you, money don't bring security, God does. A man in your life don't bring security, God does. Having your job and all this stuff don't bring security. Your education, your resume, your 401k, security's not in that. It's in God. That's where you need to find it. And be careful of these idols that are so crafty, okay? Nor commit sexual immorality. Those are really tied together. Those who usually commit sexual immorality often use sexual immorality as a form of idolatry in their life. Because that can become very addictive. It can be very obsessive. And can I tell you, one of the things that slows the roll of the people of God in our day and time is that we think it's cool to shack up, hook up, and do all those things. It's just they actually call it the hookup culture. We live in the hookup culture. We need to beware of the hookup culture because it doesn't jihad with God. Okay? How did some of these guys slow their roll? They slowed their roll because they started hanging out, not just with somebody of a different, it wasn't about ethnicity. A lot of people have made it try to be like this in the Bible. But you go back to Numbers chapter 25, Numbers chapter 21, and you look at this. Believers were engaging sexually with non-believers. In the book of Corinthians, it's going to talk about sexual immorality, where believers were engaging in sexual activity with prostitutes and with unbelievers. And I know that's all harsh language, but I want to get, the news got to get out. God cares about what you do with your body. And church, if you're going to take the name of Christ on you, you be careful what you do with your body. The Bible is very plain. Don't use your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness any longer. Use them as instruments of righteousness. Don't slow our roll by being careless with your sex life. Married people and unmarried people. This is what I like. There's a Tony Evans, pastor out of, I want to say it's Oak Baptist Church or something like that. It's in Dallas, Texas. Y'all know Tony Evans. Y'all know that name. He's a popular preacher. And he said, we got so many married people trying to act like they're single. And so many single people trying to act like they're married. He said, and it slows our roll. Don't slow our roll. You might say, well, don't slow our roll. Figure it out. Okay? I'm not the police. I don't go looking in windows, creeping around and knocking on doors and finding out what's going on. That ain't my gig. But God does. That's His gig. I don't know what else to tell you. This is part of how the old people of God slowed their roll. Next, don't tempt Christ. That word tempt has the idea of testing Him. It's this kind of statement. If God loves me, then He'll do such and such for me now. If God loves me, then how come we don't have this? We heard this in Sunday school where a mama has some children who are not believing at this time. And the children say to the mama in a way of antagonizing her, well, if God is real and you do believe in Him, then why are you sick? And why are you this? And why do you have these troubles if you really believe in God? They said to Moses, if God is really for us, then how come we've had any of these troubles? Why haven't we got here? And they want to put God to the test. Do you remember the devil tried to put Jesus to the test? He said to Jesus, you know what? If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this tall building and let the angels catch you, because you know the word says the angels won't let your foot touch against the solid ground. So you test them. And God and Jesus quoted and says, the word says, do not tempt the Lord your God. Y'all listen. I heard this quote and I liked it. It says, biblical Christianity says that we are here because of God. We're His servants. He created us in His image. He saved us. He said, but modern Christianity says this: God is here because of us, to bless us, to do our thing, to be our genie in a bottle. That, let me just tell you, that's no relationship with God. That's make-believe, okay? You got as much hope for that God doing something in your life as you got for going and rubbing on anything and thinking that a genie's going to come out of it, okay? There is a real God. There is a sure enough God, and He is not bound to us for anything that we got no leverage on Him. Only reason we are bound to He's bound to us because He chose. He gave His Son. He came off His throne. He came to get us. He's in charge. If I could say one thing, people of God, Christ Community Church, in this whole time, remember who's in charge. It's not this guy, it's not that guy, it's not those, it's Him. He's in charge. Remember that too with this next one, when it comes to complaints. I'd like to say, if you have a complaint, drop it off with the man in charge. That's not me. You're going to have to send it an email, and you're going to have to give it to him, okay? This is this next one. If you notice, I have it in larger print. That wasn't a typo. This is where I want to spend a little more time. It says, nor complain. Nor complain. As some of them also complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Nor complain. As some of them also complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. I am not naive. I do like to think positively, and I like to have a good outlook on things. I know that the building where we're going to, it's not perfect. I know that. I'm aware of it. I know that it's not finished. I'm aware of that too. I know it's going to have problems as far as how we're going to park, how we're going to do things. I got it. I know y'all are intelligent. You can figure that out too. But can I tell you, one of the things that will slow our roll with God is when people who are bound to hell and have now been put on the road to heaven complain about the parking lot or complain about the building or complain about this and complain about that. Don't get me wrong. I have not been overwhelmed with complaining. I have not been. I praise God. That doesn't mean I haven't heard any. There hadn't been zero complaining. There's been complaining, but it has not been very much. But it's been enough to where I felt like I needed to have like an eyeball to eyeball and say this: be grateful for what you got. We are not a well-off financial church. And I know God, if you want to know miracles, God's done some miracles to get us in the place where we're going. God gave us, out of the 8 air conditioning units that we have, 8 of those things came free. Out of all the parking lot, which is not sufficient, that's come, there was no labor cost, there was no trucking cost in getting the gravel to our place. We just paid for the gravel. These are miracles. We had people offer to help. We've had people come through with things. We've had people offer up and provide. This is what I want to say. Don't lose sight of the blessing because it's just not exactly what you want to see. Because I'm going to tell you, Christ Community Church, for the first time, we are going to be in Christ Community Church building. It's going to be ours for the first time. Okay? All that stuff, all y'all who love to work on buildings, I'm so glad. And you might be like, well, how come you ain't called me? How come you ain't told me? How come? I'm calling you. I'm telling you. We got this building. It's going to need work starting from when we get in there, November 22nd onward. When you see it, come talk to me and we'll do it, okay? We're going to be there to work on it. We're going to have plenty of time. We're going to need plenty of help. We got it. Man, this is going to be the first time when we work on it, it's our building. We're not improving the Transformation Center. We're not improving Jolie's building. We're improving our building by the grace of God. Yeah, it's awesome. We're going to be growing up there. It's going to be our platform for preaching the gospel. It's going to be our platform for raising up disciples. You know, I'm fired up, man. I heard this story in Sunday school where Miss Kim shared this testimony, and I think I can share it. And her and Mr. Bill load up their cars, and they bring a load of people to church Sunday and Wednesday. Look, if you have a car, there are people, but anyways, I'm just putting this example out before us, okay? They got young girls in their house, and they get a whole cubby of young girls, and they bring them to church. One of them is just a brand new believer, and she was on the bus, and she had just learned that we ought not be cussing and ought not be doing these things. So there's this young person on the bus behind her who's cussing. I mean, he's throwing out the F-bomb. He's just letting it loose, you know? And for better or for worse, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but she turned around and said to that young man, "I learned in my church, God don't want us talking like that, and you don't need to talk like that, because Jesus wouldn't have us talking like that. We need to be growing up disciples." But hold on, let me tell you something else. She got punched in the eye, shattered her glasses. She's got stitches in her eyebrow. She said it was worth it because I told that person what Jesus wanted to say. You understand? That fires me up. Whose church is she? We're her church. We're her church family. God put her in our church family. Y'all, there's people who are hungry for Jesus because up until then, she didn't have a family that went to church. She didn't know about church. She didn't know about Jesus. And we're her church. Y'all get the light of how heavy that is, how cool that is? Man, it fires me up. I get an opportunity to work with a couple guys a week who've grown up and come here through the youth group. They're both young adults now, both in college now, but I get to work with them, and I'm proud of them. Proud of the men that they're becoming in the Lord. And that fires me up. Man, are y'all fired up? That's what this whole building is about. And when we lose sight of that, yeah, you might see that some of the, there might be some areas on that floor that didn't get stained because of somebody, the guy's putting in the sprinkler system, dropped oil on it and makes it look not as good. That's all right. What in the world has that got to do with anything? You reckon anybody's going to be kicking the dust in heaven? Christ community had that dirty floor. I just don't know what they was thinking. You know, I saw some places that weren't painted just right. I ain't going, Lord, you just keep your heaven to yourself. Because I am so upset. And I wish this were to be just a joke. And I'm saying it jokingly, but I know already the tendency of human nature. Some of y'all biologically are not going to be able to help yourself without the Spirit of God intervening to keep you from being negative about a good thing. And I'm laying this out for you now. Give yourself to the Lord. I know you're saved, but I mean, give the mouth and the eyes and everything you got to Him and say, Lord, don't let anything negative, bringing people down, exit out of my mouth, because we are starting something new and I don't want to slow our roll. I don't want to be the one who's complaining, whining, fussing, murmuring. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. I gave it on Wednesday night. I said, you should memorize this verse. And y'all should memorize this verse. We all should memorize this verse. It's so easy. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, period. That's it. That's the verse. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, period. Philippians 2:14. Y'all got it? Let's try it together. Y'all repeat after me. Ready? Do all things. Y'all faster than I thought. Amen. I love the kind of church we are. We're the most flexible church. If we had been XYZ Baptist Church, I'm afraid, one, I wouldn't have been, I don't think I'd have been your pastor by now. Y'all would have shot me or fired me years ago. Bottom line. And I so appreciate being your pastor. That's why I'd like to tell y'all. And y'all might say, well, man, you kind of stepped on our toes. We got some shortcomings. Can I tell you, y'all, whose shortcomings do I preach about most in this church? Y'all be honest. Whose do I show you the most? Yeah. Can I tell you? And can I tell you I struggle here too? You know, you might feel like, well, man, I struggle. So, well, you know what? I struggle in all these areas too, and I don't want to slow our roll. And that's why I want to be deliberate in saying, Jesus, I'm yours. Work through me. Fill me that I might do all the things that you'd have me do so I don't slow our roll because you got something for us. Y'all, I'm going to tell you for the first time, and I don't even know how long. I shouldn't tell this stuff. Where's Sarah at? Sarah's not here. Okay. She always gets nervous. I know. Never mind. No, that's not true. Y'all know I'm not. I have trouble with organization. I have trouble with planning. I just do. I struggle with it. It's not who I am. But I'm going to tell you, God is bringing people into our church and into positions where we're growing in that way. Okay, it's not a thing where I'm just learning how to do this all. But I'm going to tell you, man, I've already talked to some other folks. Going to be talking to folks about having us the first revival that we've ever had somewhere in the middle of March. We're already planning on a mission trip. Some of us are going to go to Dallas at the end of February and go help folks. There's things that are coming along that there's like the vision is increasing. I don't know how else to tell you that. You know, sometimes I feel like we're like a household that lives paycheck to paycheck. You know, I don't know. Does anybody know what that feels like? Me and Sarah are the only ones. Let me explain to you. Let me explain it to you. Okay? You don't make a lot of far-reaching, long-distance plans. You just go from one moment to the next moment. And can I tell you, that's the kind of church plans and leadership we've had. From one moment to the next moment. One of the things that's exciting to me is that God's given me some vision all the way into next May. This May coming up. That's nothing like some of these other churches. I've talked to other churches, and they say, hey, we're going to have a women's event. I said, great, I'll tell my women, when are you going to have it? They'll say, let's see, July 2017. And I'm like, golly, what in the world? You know? But it's because they got this vision. They got this, you know, if God tarries, they're going to do this stuff. We've not been in that arena because we've been, y'all following me, and I've been going from paycheck to paycheck. In the leadership wise, God's opening that up, okay? And so I want y'all to be ready. I don't know all what God is going to do, but I know this, God is good. And when we know that, complaining don't got any kind of place with what we're about. Let's be about God. Let's be about what He's doing. Let's not do anything to slow our roll. Because I tell you something, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 14, before the people of Israel went through the Red Sea, they were complaining. At the end of chapter 14, in the beginning of 15, after they got done, at the end of 15, when they got through the Red Sea, those same people were still complaining. At the beginning of 16, they were complaining. They had saw the Red Sea split in front of them. They saw their enemies destroyed on the sea behind them, and they still found a way to complain. But can I tell you this? I don't think God thinks half as bad of their complaining as He would about those who have been bought by the blood of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, given the written Word of God, know that they're heaven-bound. If we complain, I just can't imagine how it would affect our Father who gave up so much. He didn't just split a dumb sea. He didn't just kill a worthless Pharaoh. He let His Son come and die for our sins. Complaining ought to have no place in our soul. Get it out. Maybe this is the exact event where you have a come to Jesus meeting with God and say, I've had a tendency to be negative and complain, and God, I want to confront it. I want to lay it down. I want to give it up, and I want to roll with what You're doing. I hope people have a life change here, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, you've been given eternal life. If we got something to brag about in the Lord, let me tell you, if anybody throughout history of the church and the world ever had something that they could boast and brag about in God, they got nothing on us. That's exactly what Paul said in the book of Galatians in chapter 6. I'm not going to brag or boast in anything except in the cross of Christ. And has it not been applied to you and me? Oh, we need to put all any kind of complaining, negative junk talk out. Hold it. If you need practice. I'd about say I'd rather you take up smoking than trash talking. Both of them, something nasty's coming out of your mouth hurting other people. If you smoke, they just think you're weak. If you trash talk, they know you're a jerk. And which one do you think turns them away from Christ more? We need to slow our roll, not slow our roll. We need to get rid of the complaining 100%. Can we do it? Hey, do you know that churches, by and large, are known as communities where people will fight about carpet, they'll fight about deacons, they'll fight about anything. They'll fight about potato salad. Mr. Russell ain't here, but he always tells me about how he was in church and so-and-so never got her tater salad. The visiting preacher never got to eat her tater salad because so-and-so's tater salad was out there in front. If people of God can argue about the position of potato salad on the table, the potential for us to complain about the imperfections of this building are ripe. And I'm just telling you this, it's not justifiable by any way, means, or anything. It's not, you might say, it's righteous indignation. It's not righteous indignation. I can tell you that righteously on the Word of God, it's not. It's whiny complainism. And can I tell you, this is why I really feel like I need to tell you, it's not the pastors who enforce how to deal with that. I'm just telling you. It says they were destroyed by the destroyer, and that's not me. I'm not here to destroy life ever. It's not what I do. They were destroyed by the destroyer. That's not the pastor. That's not the staff. That wasn't Moses. Complaining will bring God's resistance in your life, and we don't want it. We don't want that. We don't want it in our church. We want to roll. Do y'all want to roll? All right, let's look at these three things. Don't slow our roll. Let's remember this. One. Pride comes before the fall. Pride comes before the fall. Most of our complaints come from having some kind of elevated idea of who we are, some elevated idea about our preferences, our perspective, our things. But listen to this. As soon as people think, well, that couldn't happen to me, in verse 11, verse 12, it says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." So if we're going to avoid these things, remember that you're vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. Let's pray for each other to be strong, to move forward, to resist these things. The greatest example of revival in the New Testament, James chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Can I tell you, God looks at a complaining church people like what the proverb says about a nagging spouse. It's better to dwell on the corner of a rooftop. We want them to draw near. We need them to draw near. Let's throw our pride out and say, Lord, we need your help. We need your strength. We need your transforming power. We need you to show up because without you, we got nothing. Let's not be prideful. Let's be humble. Last verse in chapter 70 of Psalms, in verse 5, it says, "But I'm poor and I'm needy." Can I tell you, before the Lord, we're all poor and needy? So before you think you stand and you got all this licked, you need to check with the Lord. Present yourself honestly as someone who needs his help. If it can happen to others, it can happen to you. That's why these verses are here. Let me just read to you verse 6 and verse 11. "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted." Verse 11. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written," and they were written for our admonition, "upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Let me read verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." In other words, there is a... The things that you and I face, especially when it comes to complaining and having a bad attitude, all these things are within your control. These are all things within our ability to say, "Lord, we recognize it. We hand it over to you. We've learned." You know, they say wise people learn from their old mistakes. Wiser still are those who learn from the mistakes of others, right? We don't want to be the people of God who are left out there. We don't want to slow our roll. Last thing. Trust God, not yourself. Trust God, not yourself, not your feelings, not your strengths. Y'all, can I tell you, we're not going in there to be the best church we can be. We're not going into that new building to be the strongest church in Grenada. We're not going in there to compete with a whole lot of anybody. This is not what we're doing. We want to go in there and give ourselves fully to God and say, God, do what you want to do. Our focus isn't a man focus. It's a Christ-centered focus. We want to be focused on God, not our own feelings about what we feel about the building or what we feel about how it could have been done or what. We want to say, we're yours. Use us. Save us. Can I tell you, we've already heard it today, and I love it. I love this saying, God wins. Didn't we already hear that? George, you know that saying? God wins. George, give us God's wins. Did y'all hear that? I heard today, George, you didn't know this. When you walked in, one of the people in my Sunday school class, because we pray for you, brother, every time we meet, and they said, George is here. They said, you just pray for him. He's here. He's here. And she turned back and she looked at me and she said, he encourages me every time he's here. And I thought, me too. Me too. Anyway, thank you, brother. Hey, God's using you. You preach, man. You preach. And now y'all just heard him say, God wins. God is stronger than our feelings. He's stronger than our emotions. He's stronger than our temptations. It says here in verse 13, God is faithful. There's no question about it. God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide an escape. Let me just paint what that looks like. As soon as you come and you decide that you're going to talk to somebody, especially if it's somebody outside of our church family. And you know, I've gotten words back from people. You know this word? I want to tell you one specific thing that came back to me from somebody who's not even in our church, from somebody who attended our church. They weren't members, but they attended for a while. So this person left our church, went and talked to somebody else. It came back to me that we're all about money. All I preach on is money. You can pick your jaw back up now, Miss Stephanie. I see that. Yeah, thank you. You know, I go into a business meeting here at our church. You know what they tell me? You need to start preaching on money. But I want you to just think. You might have a complaint up your sleeve. You might have something that just irritated you. I want to give you some practical advice. I want to show you the way out of that temptation, and that is to share it with the Lord. You may have a complaint about me, and it may be just. It may be right on. You may have nailed it on the head. Can I tell you? Bring it to the Lord first, and then if you need to, bring it to me, the person you're offended at. But can I ask you, please, do not take it to people outside of our church. Do not just pass it around our church. You know why it's nice to walk into Christ Community Church? Because we don't talk that junk. And we don't have these people. Do y'all sit over here? I just want to ask, do y'all sit over here because you don't like those people over there? Yeah. You know, Michael Curry's the only one who said yes. So I think all the rest of these people, they just sit here because this is where they get used to sitting. But how about y'all? Do y'all not sit in the middle because you don't like the middle? And let me ask you middle people, are you just undecided? But have you not walked into a church where you've got a sense that this group that only likes themselves and not anybody else sits over here, this group sits over here, and I got my pews and these are their pews and we don't ever mix and there's a tension? Have you ever been to a church like that? I've been to churches like that. That ain't going to be us because we need to deal with it, all right? And the way we deal with it, we trust God. As soon as you feel it coming on, just say, just make it to the Lord. He's not too busy. You can't complain to him. He's not too busy to listen to all the negativity you got to just spew out. Spew it out to him. He can take it. I was going to say he likes it. I don't know that he likes it, but my point is he could take it. The complaining that the people of God were doing, it sickened the heart of everybody in there. It made them afraid. It slowed their roll to where God said, in Numbers chapter 14, y'all ain't going to be on my program for 4 more decades. I don't want to get put on a holding pattern. We're going to have our best opportunity we ever had to do what God's called us to do in our new building. Let's do it. Let's not slow our roll. It's our time. come here next Sunday. After that, no more. We'll be in the place God provided. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let me pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would help us. Help us to be the church you'd have us to be. A building is not a church. Not this one, not that one, not anyone. You want your church to be free of idols, free of sexual immorality, free of testing and tempting you, and free of complaining and negativity and whining and backbiting and vileness of speech. Father, would you help us? Would you help us be the church that you would have us to be? And just with your heads closed and your eyes bowed right now, I may have, maybe God, hey, don't you blame me. Maybe God stepped on your toes, foot, or head. But it wasn't me. Maybe you need to make business with God. Maybe you need to have a discussion with Him right now. Well, right now is a time that you can have a discussion with Him. If you need to say, God, I recognize my tendency to complain, or whatever else it might be, to substitute who you are with something else, whatever it might be, I just want you to have, you have this time right now to respond to God. If you need to come up here and pray with me, I'll pray with you. If you need to pray right where you are, you pray right where you are. But can I tell you, one of the things we need to do before we leave this building is separate the junk from the good. And all the people here are good, but I wonder if any of us here are carrying and toting some junk we need to leave. What a great place to leave it so that we can go into our new building and just do what God tells us to do. They're going to play a song, and while they're doing that, you respond to God the way you need to. But I just pray right now. I thank you. I thank you for everyone assembled here. I thank you for the folks even that are attached to us who aren't here. We do especially lift up the Carvers right now for Randy and Nancy, and we'd love them. We thank you for who they are to us, a part of our forever family. And we thank you, Lord, for how faithful you are. And we pray for their complete and utter healing. Father, we do that. We pray that for so many in our church, trusting you, counting on you. You're our hope. And Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward to take up the morning offering.